Now on RSN Central, Brian Martin joins Gareth Hall with the greatest moments of the spring racing carnival.
Safely in front of the 150, Bart Cummings might have his 10 Melbourne Cups.
Fields of Omar, the inside, he's hanging on. Fields of Omar, you've done it!
Wicks over the top! Oh, she's too good! They can't beat her! Wicks has won it by a length.
Brian Martin, good morning to you.
Hey, Gareth, how are you?
Good, thanks. When you have a look back in history of the Great Melbourne Cup Carnival, it's faced so many different challenges over more than a century. And this year, however, will be unique in more ways than one. No crowds. It's going to be hard to fathom, really, when you see that first race on Derby Day.
Yeah, you're right, Gareth, that when you look at the history of the Melbourne Cup, first run in 1861, but the Spring Carnival, the Melbourne Cup, the great races have faced depression, you know, back in the 1930s, World War One, back in, 1814 to 1818, Second World War through late 30s into the mid-40s. So it's faced hardship, very tough times, but this is very different. This is the modern time of people doing it very hard, a pandemic like we've never seen in our lifetime, and we're experiencing that, and no people at the races. You know, the race course was always the place where people could go and meet, regardless of, what side you supported in politics or what religion. It didn't matter. You could gather at the racetrack with friends, watch these great horses race, be a part of it. And it's so much, part of the fabric of, being an Australian. And, the races will go on, but there'll be no one there. But we're going to have to get our head around it. We've survived the Caulfield Cup Carnival, the Cox Plate, and all the races in between and coming into the last 6 months. So it'll happen. And in years, to come, we'll look back. We'll say, well, they were still great races. They were great winners, but we just weren't there,
And during the World War One and Two, a lot of sporting events were cancelled, weren't they? But racing and the Melbourne Cup Carnival continued on. They had to move the Cup in 42 and 44 from the first Tuesday in November, and they competed on it on a Saturday, but they found a way to continue on and run the great race. But you're right, it wasn't the Melbourne Cup in the early days. It became a public holiday pretty early on, but people would come from all over the country, travel for days on end to make sure that they got to the Melbourne Cup, because it was a big social event. It was their opportunity to catch up with people that they don't catch up with. It was like a once-in-a-year opportunity.
Yeah, and it hasn't changed, Gareth, because people come from interstate now. It's overseas. They come from the country all around Victoria. It's a great meeting place, and, the hotels and the accommodation, it was a boom for them, for the hospitality industry and all that. We've got to remember all that is missing, all that accommodation, hospitality, the milliners, the people who sell clothing for men and women and hats, and it doesn't matter, right across the board. There's a huge impact on all those industries because it just doesn't exist this year. It's as simple as that. And these are the people that, and companies and businesses we tend to forget about because it's not there in our face this year, but it's alive and it's hanging on by a thread, but racing goes on. It's resilient. It just keeps pushing on, and it's a credit to the industry, Racing Victoria, and the way it's been controlled, and it's been hanging out there on a thread from time to time when we've had positive, returns for COVID, and we've been able to get over the top of them and put all the best sort of protocol in place and abide by the rules and stick by those rules, and we're getting to the to the light at the end of the tunnel now. And I think it's a credit to everyone involved. It makes you feel very proud.
So many great moments on Derby Day over the years. Let's relive one of your favourite moments, BM.
Yeah, it was a beauty. It's 1984. So, I'm going back, and probably a lot of the baby boomers listening like me will say, gee, I remember that horse. He was a great horse. And we're turning the clock back to 1984. And there was a horse, a colt, a beautiful chestnut colt, not very big, a horse called Red Anchor, and he had an interesting career and only a short career of 14 starts for 9 wins, but he was sold at the New Zealand sales for only $12,000 New Zealand. He was by an English horse called Sea Anchor, And he was sold for $12,000 to a guy called Paul Sutherland, a very prominent trainer up there in Sydney, and was sold to actually to an Asian businessman, but there was some problem there, and the horse in turn was sold back to O'Sullivan, who then passed it on for $30,000 to a syndicate of people. He had sort of a not a terribly impressive debut as far as, you know, actual form goes. He started at 400-1, but he showed something first up when he ran a place over 900 metres, and he didn't really come onto the headlines for a while. He had a couple of placings in town in Sydney, but then he ran second in the Size Produce. He missed the Golden Slipper. He ran second in the Size Produce to Victory Prince and turned the tables on the horse in the Group 1 Champagne Stakes, and then they had pretty special. Paul Sutherland didn't want to take the horse to Melbourne at three. By the time the horse turned three, gone and campaigned in Queensland, and he won the QTC Size up there and ran second in the Castlemaine. He tipped him out, and the horse came back at three, and he didn't want to take him to Melbourne for the spring and wanted to wait and stay for the AJC Derby in the autumn of 85. And there was a dispute with the owners. Paul Sutherland had a share in the horse. He sold the share out to the owners, and the owners gave the horse to the great trainer TJ Smith. Tommy produced him in the Roman Consul first up with Mick Dittman on in September of 84 at Randwick, and the horse had a nice win. Then he came to Melbourne, and he was unbeaten in the Moonee Valley Stakes, the Caulfield Guineas, a brilliant win in the Cox Plate, the Derby, and then he came back the next season and the end of the season and won the Apollo up in Sydney. So he was never beaten at three for Tommy Smith, and the Cox Plate was a beauty. The Caulfield Stakes, Guineas, I should say, was a beauty as well. But this is the Derby of 1984, the great caller Bill Collins, and he went out and he started favourite in the Derby at 11-8 on after blitzing them the week before in the Cox Plate at 11-8 on also. And let's pick up the action. VRC Derby 1984 and Red Anchor.
Goldbeck and Colenso with Red Anchor about to tackle them and quickly grabbed them and took the lead. Red Anchor's in front. National Gallery's the challenger. He's had to go for the whip on National Gallery, though. Then came Clavelli Bay and Spirit of Kingston. But go, Red, and look at him go. Red Anchor racing away. Four, five, six in front of National Gallery. Then Clavelli Bay and Goldbeck. But little Red Anchor's going to trot in the Derby. Wins pulling up by 4.5.
What a great horse he was, BM. And as you pointed out, wonderful call by Bill Collins. But he was a remarkable thoroughbred.
He was, yeah. And he won the Apollo Stakes in the February of the following year, and then had an injury and succumbed to racing. He was then syndicated to Barrymore Stud for $3 million to stand at Barrymore, and he went on to be a pretty successful stallion as well, but lightly raced. But Mick Dittman told me in a conversation about 2 weeks ago, I was talking to Mick, he said, "Brian, he was the best horse I ever rode. He could quicken at 1,200, he could quicken at 2,500, And he said if he had a run in that Melbourne Cup of 1984 after he won the Derby as a three-year-old, Black Knight won the race. He said, had he have run, he wasn't even headed. He said he would have canted him. And that's how good he was.
That's a big compliment from one of the greats, Mick Dittman. Hey, BM, have you got a winner for us on Saturday before we let you go?
What's the horse called? Hit the Shot. I like him in the Derby.
Jeez, you know what? Everybody today, we've gone from Mick Guerin, even from New Zealand, Mark Hunter. Who else, Benny Day? There's Glenn Ingram on the trial files. And now the great Brian Martin are tipping hit the shot to win the VRC Derby. We had a lovely chat to kick off the show with Fred Kersley Jr. He spoke so well. He hails, as you well know, from a famous racing family. And I think it's a great storyline when you got the Kamani family who have had so much success over in Europe and the Kersley family here. They combine with Fred and Matt, and they're both looking for their first Group 1 in the VRC Derby, a race with so much history.
Yes. Yeah, well, it's older. It's 6 years older than the Melbourne Cup, first run in 1855. Our city could have got a nice little share and succeed indeed, as you know. Had a bit of trouble with her tongue. That's why she laid off the track there in the Ethereal at Caulfield and covered an enormous amount of ground. She wears a tongue tie. She's got a different bit on tomorrow. She's got a good gait, and she's right in the zone, mate. So she's about $14 in the Wakeful. You can have something each way on Succeed Indeed, and hopefully onto the H next Thursday.
Beautiful. There's never been a problem with your tongue, great man. Have a great day. And we'll talk to you during the week, BM. Well done, mate. Good luck.
See you, bud.
There's the legendary Brian Martin. Love talking. You could talk racing to BM all day long. Time for a quick break. 33 minutes past 11. Get your questions in for Gator. 0416 905052.